Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is the fourth of the Sumitomo Life Research Institute, LSE, annual lectures. The first three have made a great impression on the LSE calendar. We look forward to these events annually, and we're extremely grateful to Sumitomo colleagues who have, Life Research Institute, who have sponsored these events. The Japanese connection has been viewed in each annual lecture from different angles. You'll remember the first was on international finance at Gyoten. Then we had international trade. And last year, we were dealing with government policy and industrial growth in Japan. Here we are looking at a different aspect altogether, not so much looking at international problems tonight from the authoritative Japanese position of our speakers, but we're looking internally to Japan. Just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, was it, there was a great conference in Queen Elizabeth's Conference Hall in this in London of Japan and Britain, the new era, and was much made of this special relationship, as it was called, by our Prime Minister and indeed by Hosokawa-san, the Prime Minister of Japan. The two countries reviewed their affairs and reviewed international priorities in that context. Central to every point of interest that we took on the 2 days conference was a point which is the priority of the evening, because whatever is happening in world changes and the immense significance of the central position now that Japan plays in international affairs, central to that, of course, is the domestic situation of Japan, and in particular, perhaps, its political stability, which is the premise of everything that else we can talk about. Tonight, we are talking on Japan's new domestic politics and its foreign policy implications, and we're extremely fortunate to have Professor Sato with us, who is the research director, International Institute for Global Peace. He's also a professor at Keio University. He's an emeritus professor of political science at Tokyo University, and he's had a career which, beginning very strongly for, I think, the 60s and the middle 70s at Tokyo University, which then grew into world affairs. He's been a professor visiting at Harvard, and he is now the alternative member in the Pacific Economic Cooperation Conference Standing Committee, as well as all the positions he has in academic life in Japan. We're extremely grateful that you've come, Professor Sato. You have an attentive audience, and we're honored to hear you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for a very kind introduction. distinguished guests and ladies and gentlemen, this is really my great honor and pleasure to be here this evening and to have a chance to express my views on changing Japanese politics and to have a chance to exchange views with you. And but the topic I'm assigned here by Sumitomo is a very dangerous one, and because that the Japanese politics is now in the process of the extreme changes, and so that there are full of uncertainties in the future course of Japanese politics. So you surely find within 6 months that what I am going to say now is totally wrong. And, but I try to be brave enough to make some observations about the basic nature of the changes going on in the Japanese politics and what kind of courses that Japan might proceed in the coming months and the coming years. And as you all well know, I think, In the summer of 1993, the Japanese political world experienced a strong upheaval. The administration of the then Prime Minister Miyazawa failed to deliver on his promise of political reform. And in the wake of major scandals that angered the most of the Japanese voting public. Generally speaking, the Japanese voters are more accustomed to and more tolerant of the political scandals than the British counterparts. And of course, your politics also have some scandals, but it's a different type of scandals. I should say, more civilized type of scandal. And even for lenient Japanese voters, the latest scandals are too much, too extravagant. Just the amount of money involved are really too much and too scandalous. And that's the very reason that some of the groups of the Diet members of Miyazawa's party, that is the Liberal Democratic Party, which has been in power since its establishment in 1955, left the party and forming the two small parties. And then on June 18th, the Diet passed a non-confidence motion and the House of Representatives was dissolved. And despite the LDP gained one more seat through the elections, but before the election, LDP already lost the majority just because of the split of the party. And so that is a new coalition government under Mr. Hosokawa was formed. And it was really the first time, as I said, since 1945, when the Liberal Democratic Party was established to counter the emerging Socialist Party. And at that time, the Socialist was split into two or three parties, but the number of seats of the Socialist, especially leftist Socialist, has been growing. And in 1955, these Socialist parties joined into one. And there is a very widely shared fears among the LDP members and the Japanese business establishment about the possibility or danger that the Socialists will take power. And so in order to avoid that kind of eventuality, all the conservatives joined into one, making the Liberal Democratic Party. And that's the beginning of the long-standing one-party predominance of the LDP in Japan. And finally, this ended. And that's really the historic change in terms of who take a power in Japanese politics. But I'd like to, I have already written this paper, which was distributed to you. But probably that I have written about 2 months ago. And I may be still young, so that is my ideas about Japanese politics has been changing. And, so this evening, what I am going to say is slightly or quite significantly different what I have written there. And I'd like to insist several points. The first is that the very reason why LDP, the first point is that why the LDP lost the power. And it is not because LDP's policies are discredited by the voters. There's a very clear sign up until the last year that there is a support for LDP had been increasing. LDP's support had been declining since the early 60s, all through the 70s. But since the end of the 70s, there is a return of the support for LDP. And during the 80s, and the LDP had enjoyed highest support, according to the opinion, repeatedly done opinion polls from the Japanese public. And most of the Japanese voters do not believe that the Socialist Party would be the realistic alternative to the Liberal Democratic Party. That's the very reason why LDP had to be in power for so many years. But as I already explained, the LDP was established as a conservative coalition, anti-socialist conservative coalition. And once the socialists started to change its basic policy directions and try to be similar to the LDP, there is no reason for LDP to get together. There's no enemies, just like the Western Alliance, which lost the common enemy, Soviet Union. And and more than that, most of the voters are really upset to see the repeated scandals. And the latest one is mostly extravagant. So to be LDP members are rather harmful for the younger generation of Diet members to be re-elected. So younger generations would like to get out of the party if possible. And that's one reason for the split of the LDP. And the second reason is a power struggle inside the Takeshita faction. The Takeshita faction inherited the Tanaka faction, and which has been the largest faction inside the LDP. And when Mr. Kanamaru, de facto leader of the Takeshita faction, was deeply involved in the latest scandal, there was a power struggle started. Who should succeed Kanamaru? And Mr. Ozawa was defeated to take a majority. Mr. Takeshita was skillfully and behind the scene managed to maintain the majority. And so Mr. Ozawa was pushed to the corner. And so that's the another reason of his group went out of the party. With all these reasons, the LDP was split, and just before the election was held, and naturally the LDP couldn't recover all the loss they had because of the split of the party. There is another reason why someone like Mr. Ozawa could go out of the party, because of the de facto change of the Socialist Party. There's a very clear sign that the Socialists would very much like to join the power, coalition government, if possible, even with the former LDP members. So that once Socialists changed, then some of the LDP members went out of the party, there's a chance for them to establish a new government. And that's another very important reason why that there's a significant number of the people went out of the party. And interesting thing is when Mr. Hosokawa established the 7 parties coalition government, there was agreement among the participants to the coalition. That is, a new coalition government will follow the basic policy directions of the past LDP government. And that's a politically very clever statement to make, because that surely reassures the Japanese voters. Nothing really dramatic change will happen. When the Japanese economy is in a serious economic recession, and since early 1990s, the bubble was bubble blasted, and the Japanese economy has been plunging into the most serious economic recession since World War II. And Japanese business sectors lost the confidence, and there is a clear sign of a rising tendency of unemployment rate in Japan. Of course, right now the official unemployment rate of Japan is somewhat less than 3%. But the unemployment rate is a tricky index because of the definition of unemployment differs from country to country. And the Japanese government is very clever to have a very narrow definition of unemployment to reduce welfare cost. And so that is a 3% unemployment rate in Japan is roughly equal to 6% of unemployment in Great Britain. And more than that, there are significant number of de facto underemployment in many corporations. And if the recession continue for several more years or several more months than years, then it will be increasingly more difficult for big Japanese, even the good Japanese corporation, to maintain the present number of employees, especially middle-aged white-collar people. And that is really the new threat the Japanese white-collar people are now facing. And under these circumstances, the most people tend to be more conservative. They don't want to change the status quo so radically. And so that is a basic agreement of the seven parties which joined the coalition under Mr. Hosokawa is a very clever statement to make politically. But it also demonstrates that there is no they cannot conceive or establish the new type of clear-cut, consistent policies, set of policies significantly different from the LDP governments. And that's the first point I'd like to insist. The second is that the more recent changes. And there is a clear sign of the uneasiness of the weak political leadership of Mr. Hosokawa in Japanese public, according to the latest opinion polls. By the way, that since its establishment, Mr. Hosokawa had been enjoying unprecedented high level of popular support, according to the opinion polls. But and since the beginning of this year, especially since February, when he suddenly changed his mind of regarding the tax reforms, his popularity had badly damaged. And according to the latest opinion polls done by Yomiuri and Asahi, which I read here in London, that about more than 10% decline of support for Mr. Hosokawa, according to Yomiuri poll. But the interesting thing is that there's no sign of the support for LDP, despite of the increasing uneasiness of the weak leadership on the part of Mr. Hosokawa. And according to the Asahi polls, which was done in the late February this year, about 66%, the nearly 70% of Japanese, that is overwhelming majority of Japanese, still think that the change of the government from LDP to the coalition is a good thing to happen. And only 18% replied that it was not good. But at the same time, about 57%, nearly 60% Japanese responded that the present form of coalition government should not be maintained. It's a very interesting opinion that they preferred the change of the government from the LDP to the coalition, but also they fear the present weak coalition government continue. So they would like to see the stronger coalition or stronger government to emerge, but not from the LDP. That's the general attitude. And from the very beginning, the support for Mr. Hosokawa is not based on his expectation, popular expectation of his visions or leadership or policies, but his impressions that to use according to the items picked up by the poll takers, that is he generally regarded as a fresh among the Japanese, and the Japanese preferred the fresh leadership. Anyway, he is much younger than the previous Prime Minister, Mr. Miyazawa, and he looks nice and so on. So that is, but if you covered, if you are covered by the TV every day, then for 6 months, you can't be fresh. And according to the latest poll, to rate the Mr. Hosoka as a fresh, as badly declined, and it's quite natural. And those who responded that Mr. Hosoka is unreliable jumped up from 10% to 19%, doubled within 2 months, according to Asahi polls. So there is a very clear sign of the uneasiness, rising uneasiness about the Prime Minister Hosoka's leadership. But at the same time, the LDP is still suffering from the serious damage they had from the repeated scandals. And more than that, one of the very interesting achievements, two of the very interesting achievements Mr. Hosoka said, did under his coalition government are, number one, that the socialist changed its basic policy directions, de facto level, at least. And the Japanese government, at the end of the stage of the GATT-Uruguay round negotiation, accepted the limited market access of limited access of foreign rice producers to the Japanese rice market. But if the socialists were in opposition, it could be much more difficult for the Japanese government, any Japanese government, to pass make this decisions. But now the largest opposition is the LDP, and which couldn't oppose to that, and the socialists is now inside the power, in the government, so that they cannot oppose to that. So the net result is that the Japan finally accepted the limited opening measures of the rice market. And just the first thing that Mr. Hosoka did, the first good thing Mr. Hosoka did to Japan. The second one is that his government demonstrate change of the power from LDP to the others will not cause a really radical change of the policies, and that provides a very assurance of the people. And so now most Japanese people think that we need to rely upon LDP alone. There are a lot of alternatives, and nothing so seriously concerned about that. Just because of these reasons, and these two achievements Hosoka government did, the political situation in Japan is a kind of stagnation. The support for Hosoka administration is declining, but the support for the opposition party remain very low. That's just the present situation. And the quite recent failure of Mr. Hosoka to reshuffle his cabinet will surely damage his popularity more. And that this situation will continue. That means that the Japanese politics is going more uncertain in the coming weeks and months. And that's my second point. And the third is that that is a just because of the weakening leadership on the part of Prime Minister Hosokawa, and that it would be very, very difficult for Mr. Hosokawa to carry out all the promises he made to reform the Japanese politics and the Japanese economic structures, or political structure, political economy, Japanese structure of political economy. And he is, especially in Washington, not so clear in London, but especially in Washington, Mr. Hosoka is really regarded as a reformist, and different from the previous LDP leaders, they expected Mr. Hosoka to take a strong leadership to make a breakthrough, to change the structure of Japanese political economy. But these kind of expectations is destined to be betrayed. And it is beginning. That's the basic reason of the latest failure of the negotiation between Washington and Tokyo. And the political reform bills, it passed the lower house and will pass the upper house too very soon. But I'm pretty sure, or 100% sure, that the Japanese politics won't be improved so dramatically under the new reform bills. And first of all, as for the scandals, our control of the political funds and expenditures of the money by the politicians and the parties, there are a lot of loopholes exist in the reform bill that the politicians can do what they would like to do if they are clever enough. And they are clever enough and skillful enough. They have a lot of experience how to evade, how to use the loopholes. And so the Japanese politics. And the second, that under the new electoral law, Japanese election will remain to be as expensive as before. Because of the Japanese political party structure is quite different from British. And even under the new electoral law, each politicians are requested to cultivate their own electoral machine, just like American. And the American political electoral system is one person, one district system, but the American election is together with Japanese and the Korean, among the most expensive one. So that it is not the electoral system that reduces the money needed for election, but the structure of party. And the structure of party won't change overnight. So that the Japanese election will be remain to be very expensive under the new electoral system. And there is a loophole to raise funds, and there is a strong need to spend money for election. Then it's quite natural that the Japanese politics will remain as it has been, remain same as it has been for many years. And we shouldn't expect too much about the change of the Japanese politics and the politicians and the Japanese leadership based on the new reform bills. And the second is that just because of the weak leadership, Mr. Hosoka will not break up the iron triangles. One of the very serious deficit Japan has had under the long-standing predominance of the Liberal Democratic Party is that the burgeoning of the iron triangles. Iron triangles consist of the three elements. And one is the special interest groups. The second is the politicians who are ready to represent that interest. The third is government agencies who has an obligation or power to oversee these interest groups. And under the lasting LDP government, these three elements are united to form an iron triangle. There are a lot of iron triangles. By the way, these are not uniquely Japanese. The word iron triangle, originally coined in the United States, describe by American political scientists to describe the basic nature of American politics. And of course, in the American case, the American iron triangles are a little bit more transparent because that is all the discussions done in the committee and subcommittee in the Congress. Of course, many important decisions made by the behind the scene. But in the Japanese case, during the LDP government, all the discussion done inside the LDP, and discussion in the Diet is no meaning at all. It's a kind of ceremony. And so that is all the important decisions done behind the scene, inside LDP, policy affairs research committee, and subcommittees and subcommittees. So that is the Japanese decision making are less transparent, even compared to the American one. Despite that, there is a very clear basic similarities of the structure of the iron triangles. If that there are so many iron triangles, then the decision making, the government will increasingly more difficult to make a real breakthrough, which is desperately needed for Japan to cope with the new challenges. And so the Japan under the LDP government has clearly moving into the state of so-called pluralistic stagnation. Many vested interests make a very sophisticated and complicated checks and balances, and no really the change can be pursued. Look at the best example is that the distribution of the public fund for public construction. And generally speaking, the Japanese Ministry of Finance is the single most powerful government agency in Japan, and it is true. But even the powerful the Ministry of Finance, which has the prerogative to make a budget, cannot change the ratio of the public funds for public constructions. From each specific government agency should have the specific percentage. And the changes could happen in the level of 0.01%, something like that, but nothing more than that. Even in a specific the ministry, each the section has been trying very hard to maintain the fixed share of lion's share of the government money. So the Japanese allocation of the Japanese allocation of the Japanese budget has to be extremely stagnant, and that's a very symbolic effect of the. Of the so-called pluralistic stagnation, but despite of the great expectation both in Japan and abroad, Mr. Hosokawa will not be able to make any significant change to break these iron triangles. Of course, there are interesting changes are already going on. Is starting. Despite of the weak leadership on the part of Mr. Hosokawa, or politicians, because that is now that among the three poles of iron triangle, one pole that is LDP, and now lost power. So that and no political parties completely filled that vacuum. So that is now the shape of the triangle are skewed more to the bureaucracy. And secondly, that the Japanese business, just because of the inevitable effect of the rising exchange rate of yen vis-a-vis most of the hard currencies throughout the world, are forced to go abroad to invest outside Japan. And then these activities are out of control of the Japanese government. So the Japanese business is increasingly more dependent from the control of the government. In the general trend of is very clear. But as I said, that the iron triangle are more in since the establishment of Hosokawa administration, more skewed to the bureaucracy. When the Hosokawa coalition government was established, there was a widely shared fear among the bureaucrats in Japan. Now, finally, we have to deal with the socialists. But within a couple of months, they found that these new politicians, newcomers, are much easier to handle with, and because of they lack any experience how to manage the government. So they have to depend upon the bureaucrats, and the bureaucrats are very skillful to provide useful information to educate these inexperienced politicians. So the bureaucrat influence has been increasing, and they are very happy dealing with the inexperienced politicians. And as far as there's no need to make a major decision, but Japan is now facing that just simply because of the coming from the international conflicts, Japan now has to make a major decision to change its policy directions. But it's beyond the capability of the talented bureaucrats in Japan. Bureaucracy cannot make such kind of major decisions. So it is a politician task, but there is no leadership coming from politicians. And that's the dilemma that Japanese politics and Japanese now is facing. And let me turn to the policy, foreign policy implications. And there are very interesting things happening. For the first time since the end of the World War II, there is almost national consensus in terms of the basic foreign policy directions, or security policy directions. Now the socialists, at least in de facto level, has changed their foreign and security policies, not so different from the previous LDP government. And so except the tiny communists, there's no strong opposition to the basic lines of the policies, foreign policies, which were formulated under the LDP government. And that's the one very interesting change. But secondly, that just because of the lack of the leadership, next to impossible for a new government to go beyond the limit of the LDP government in terms of, to take more activist foreign policy, and it's almost impossible for Japan right now. And third is the very interesting impact of the change of the generations in the leadership. Mr. Hosokawa, of course, the new Mr. Hosokawa and Mr. Kono is the president of the LDP, that means the president of the biggest opposition party in Japan, are both in their 50s, much younger than the most of the aged leaders of the LDP. So there is a very clear change of the generation in Japanese the political world. But new generations are more hesitant to take up the bold, bold is a strong, a little bit too strong word, describe the Japanese foreign policy, but more activist, slightly more activist foreign policy. And they are reluctant, they are more status quo oriented. The younger generations are more conservative than elders. And usually when the Japan, there's an acute need for Japan to change its status quo-oriented foreign policy to the more activist one. That kind of leadership almost completely disappeared on the surface. It will take several years for Japan to have the new type of leadership. Of course, Mr. Ozawa is different, but he is so unpopular among the general public, and his record regarding the his regarding the repeated political scandals are dubious one, to use a nice word for him. And so that there is a very little chance for him to take the very powerful position, officially powerful position, to say nothing of his chance to be a prime minister. So Mr. Ozawa is a rather exception among his generations. But without him, there is no such kind of political leader existed in Japan to take, willing to take a risk, or to take the self, even the self-sacrificing initiative to maintain the peace and prosperity in the international community, which is desperately needed. And even in order to reduce the present level of trade surplus, Japan should take the more bold initiative, but without being pressed from the outside. But it's still, unfortunately, it is impossible, at least for the time being. I don't know how long this stagnated situation will continue. I feel very sorry that I have to end my presentation in a rather pessimistic tone. But the base, I think that in the short term, I cannot be but pessimistic. Pessimist about the possibility of the change in the Japanese politics, but in the midterm or longer term, I can be more optimistic, and the necessity will prevail, and the necessity will change the Japanese attitude, and will foster the emerging of the new type of stronger leadership. Thank you so much.
Professor Sato has kindly agreed to, of course, take some questions. And perhaps if you'd stand here, might be the best way of tackling it. And perhaps we can see questions around the floor. Could I just get arms up for the first few? Yeah, you should have brought a camp bed, Professor Sato. May we start with Lord Desai and then... Mm-hmm.
Could I ask whether, in view of what you said about consensus in foreign policy, you reckon that Mr. Hosokawa has enough strength to stand up to Mr. Clinton?
Well, he pretends to be very strong to stand up vis-à-vis Mr. Clinton, but once the value of yen started to go up, there was a great shock spread it among the Japanese. Establishment. That's ridiculous. That is just a given fact. And but it, so it, there's no such kind of. I have been out of Japan in the last 10 days, so I don't know exactly. But based on my reading of the Japanese newspaper here in London and looking at the TV, my impression is that the Japanese government, as usual, that is searching very hard to find out some measures to calm down the angry Americans. Mr. Hosokawa is foolishly tried to reshuffle his cabinet and failed. So that will cause a fatal damage to Mr. Hosokawa. So Mr. Hosokawa won't be able to take any significant measures to cope with the present really serious the relations between U.S. and Japan. I'm really concerned about the U.S.-Japan relations right now, but I'm basically not that pessimistic. In the coming months, our relations will be very rough, but maybe by the end of this year, station will be be a little bit better.
Thank you. Please.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Leslie Fielding, Sussex University. I want to ask the speaker a question about the United Nations Security Council.
Mm-hmm.
And to assist the speaker, I'd like to make a short comment and a short question.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us who know and like Japan mm-hmm. have never wanted to make any obstacle about Japan mm-hmm. being a mm-hmm. member of the Security mm-hmm. Council. But those of us who know Japan and have friends in Japan are perfectly aware that the issue is often seen as an issue of prestige and not often enough seen as a can of worms, as a terrible responsibility. My many Gaimusho friends are in favor, I suspect because it gives Gaimusho a little more prestige because they will staff the Security Council delegation and assist them in their eternal battle with MITI and Okurasho. Now, here's the question. You mentioned external pressure as some way of assisting the acceleration of a very slow process and a very depressing situation. Would Japanese membership of the Security Council have a sort of a galvanizing effect on the political leadership?
Yeah.
One say, in order to be forced to take, because everyone will laugh at Japan if they sit there with a low profile. That's my question. Thank you.
Okay. My answer is yes. It surely have the very great positive effect to facilitate change of the Japanese attitude to take more active responsibilities and even to take some risks in a case of a necessity. But the trouble is that the Prime Minister Hosokawa himself is not so willing to get the permanent seat in the Security Council. And so the poor the people in the Foreign Ministry had to fight very hard to persuade their own boss. But there is a growing concern in Japan that we are paying a lot of money but we are not consulted. So the American Revolution started with a slogan that without representation, no tax. But you are right. There is no strong leadership coming from inside Japan that what kind of role Japan should do and what kind of world Japan would like to see happen. That kind of initiative, Professor Rondoa recently published a book on that, Japan, who can say, let do this. And that kind of initiative still remain to be seen. But the Japanese membership of the permanent membership of the Security Council really facilitated to cause that kind of change.
Would you follow that up, sir?
I'm sorry to do this again. The issue is one which is more than a question of no taxation without representation. I pay all my taxes and I'm unrepresented in the parliament of this country. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
What I think...
But you have voting rights.
When I was an EC Director General in Brussels, mm-hmm. although British, I was denied the right to vote.
Oh, okay.
But these are details of our obscure European, very complicated and depressing situation. I want to come back to this question of responsibility.
Mm.
It's not a question of being consulted. Japan is consulted whether or not she's a member of the permanent member of the Security Council. Membership of the Security Council requires difficult, positive decisions and alignments and risks.
Yeah.
And it's not possible to sit there as the Japanese representative in the GATT in Geneva does, silent, saying perhaps or maybe. And this is, while exciting for Gaimusho officials, the generation of Japanese generations of Japanese politicians of which whom I have known, it seems to me, would be terrified of being rung up in the middle of the night and asked to take some military decision, and certainly incapable of giving a response. However, I accept your answer that it will facilitate the process, I suspect it's going to take time. Speaker asked me to come back, and therefore I did. I never disobey the orders of the chairman.
But may I make a very small footnote? Yes. I quite agree with what you said. But not all the existing standing members of the Security Council behave just like you described. There are some either sleeping members.
Professor Sato, you spoke earlier that when the coalition came to power, took over many of the policies of the previous LDP governments. I was wondering if you cared to speculate whether that was due to the lack of experience of the politicians that came into office, or whether this was just due to the problems of holding the coalition together.
Well, in order to hold the coalitions together, that is a it's very difficult for socialists to commit to that kind of agreement, because the socialist has been opposing almost everything LDP government has planned to do. So it's a really great change on the part of the socialist. And the single largest reason why they made such kind of agreement is that they have no ideas how to make clear set of policies which are different from the LDP. The lack of ability to formulate the new set of alternative policies.
I'd like to ask you a question about Zokugin, a topic you've wrote extensively about. Specifically, the role of Zokugin, or policy affairs specialist, in the rice policy issue and liberalization.
Could you bring it a bit closer? Because and, people at the back are not following.
And liberalization of the domestic market for rice in December. Hatatsutomu, I understand, is a norinzoku. And I was wondering, agricultural policy specialist, I was wondering what his role was in the liberalization of rice, his role, or whether he had a role.
Well, I don't think that he had any special role to push or to disturb the Japanese government acceptance of the, limited access to of foreign rice producers to the Japanese market. Yeah, on the surface, the many politicians pretend to oppose the any kind of liberalization measures to be taken. And the Japanese Diet repeatedly made a decision that even one grain of rice should be introduced in Japan. Of course, it's against the fact. And in Okinawa, they are making a special kind of the wine and sake and shochu, I should say, and which are made from a special type of rice which Japan cannot produce. So at about for many years, Japan is importing, has been importing about 30,000 tons of rice. That means 3 trillion grains of rice. And according to my expert, the friend of who are expert on the rice issue. So the Japan has been importing a special kind of rice to the amount of the 3 trillion grain. but so on the surface, there's an unanimous opposition to that. But in reality, to use the Japanese word, honne, the most of the politicians do understand the desperate needs for Japan to accept. And more than that, without liberalization of the rice market, anyway, Japanese rice production will collapse within 10 years because of the very few younger generation of Japanese are ready to go into that business. Throughout in Japan, about 400 family farmers household exist, but out of these 400, 2/3 is a part-time farmers. Their income is bigger. Their non-agricultural income is bigger than income from agricultural business. And the second is those professional farmers, so-called professional farmers, only one third, less than one third, have the labor force younger than 60 years. That's the reality of the Japanese farming business. So within 10 years, most of the farming households will disappear. So there's without any foreign pressure, without that negotiation, Japanese government are facing to radically change its rice policy. And most politicians do know that, but they cannot say that.
Regarding the Japanese defense policy and the recent nuclear threat from North Korea, do you think there's any possibility of Japan to have a nuclear weapon?
Well, you said a nuclear threat, but I don't see, it's not so clear that the North Korea has a nuclear weapon. It seems very clear they have the intention to go nuclear if possible. But it is true that the North Korean new missiles can cover most part of Japan. Fortunately, Tokyo is not right now not inside their shooting range, but Nagoya is already inside the shooting range. I don't know how accurate these missiles are, and I don't know how many missiles they have, but anyway, there's a very clear sign that they are very eager to produce the new type of missiles, and they have technologies. They are exporting missiles to Iran and those Middle Eastern countries who are ready to pay in hard currency. So there's a new type of danger is coming, but it is absolutely absurd for Japan to go nuclear for several reasons. One is, as far as the U.S.-Japan alliance is in a good shape, of course it's a big if, but then we needn't to go nuclear first. Second, that we can, even if we have nuclear weapons, we cannot, it is dubious to we can deter North Korea. And if North Korea attacks Japan and destroy Tokyo, it's nonsense for us to destroy Pyongyang. The Tokyo is 1,000 more precious than in Pyongyang. So that there is a very clear imbalance of the targets, value of targets. And the third, if Japan go nuclear, it's really it's upset the NPT regime and really upset the international stability throughout the world, to say nothing of the East Asia. And it won't promote the security of Japan. So that is, irrespective of the very strong so-called pacifist sentiment or nuclear energy widely shared among the Japanese people, there is no logical reason for Japan to go nuclear. Despite Japan has some ability, technology, but it's Japan will not and should not go nuclear.
Thank you. Could you identify yourself, please, as you speak?
Thank you. My name is Lothar Rast. I'm an exchange student at the LSE. I wanted to ask you a question with regard to the continuity of the policy you said of the new government with regard to the LDP. Mm-hmm. I would like to challenge that on two points.
Mm-hmm.
The first is the so-called war criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hosokawa was the first one who admitted the so-called convenient women and opened up the whole discussion about the Japanese past, especially Japanese history during the war. Do you think this is just like a straw fire, or doesn't that imply a radical change with the interpretation of the past and thus to foreign policy? And the second question would be, isn't there a growing interest in consumer interest since the so-called Japan Corporation was always very producer-oriented and rather scorned consumer protection? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. let me make a very straightforward response to the 2 points you raised. One is a war criminals issue. Well, the Japanese Prime Minister, it is not nothing new, very frankly, fundamentally nothing new, that the Japanese Prime Minister has repeatedly said that they expressed the feeling of every time they visit the foreign countries, especially Japan fought or occupied, they made apologies. And the way that Mr. Hosoka did is a little bit stronger than the previous one, maybe, but not fundamentally different, number one. Number two, as far as the legal treatment of this issue is concerned, his position is nothing different from the previous one. And so that as for the interpretation of history, there are always, well before Mr. Hosoka took power, there are a lot of different perspectives, different opinions about the record of the prehistory, pre-war Japan. And I would like to insist to you that you used the word as for your second question, that Japan cooperation, but Japan is not that homogeneous country as many foreigners tend to believe. There are a lot of different opinions exist. And more than that, it is Japanese who hate Japan most. And most criticism about the war crimes are coming, made in Japan, exported to the other countries, and re-imported again. The comfort guard issue is typical case in point. It was Japanese who made a who published a book on this issue with factual errors and huge exaggeration in expression. Then it widely read by Koreans, and the Koreans started to cry against Japan. So I read, every time I meet Koreans, I feel very sorry that all the kind of suffering of the Korean ladies had in these wartime experiences. But if you are so angry, why you started to do research on that before we did? Then no answer. So it is Japanese who hate Japanese. And Japanese are pretty masochistic type of people. And maybe British share the common trait. change to the second question, that is commercial consumer's interest. Well, it sounds great. And Mr. Hosoka, it's a fashionable in Japan. Even since Mr. Miyazawa took power, he said that his slogan, the slogan of his government is that Japan should increase the quality of life. That Hosoka followed that slogan. And as I already said, there's no change so far in the basic nature of the Japanese political economy, and will not change. And again, there's nothing really significant change will happen. That doesn't mean that the Japanese society or Japanese government pay little attention to consumers. That's an erroneous assumption. And the Japanese corporations are very eager to provide a better quality of goods with a reasonable price to the consumers, as far as they are producing. But of course, I quite agree that in many cases, the price of the consumer product in Japan is outrageously expensive, and it comes from the various reasons. And we should change that kind of practices. But generally speaking, the Japanese consumers are pretty comfortable in their lives.
It's a hill, I know.
May I just check, so you just before we begin, how many more questions are in the air? Because we're beginning to think of time. Thank you very much. Let's hear.
Hugo Terzi. Administrative reform, deregulation are on everybody's lips these days.
Yeah.
Keidan Ren, foreign governments, even the Japanese government talk about it as being important. The Americans, of course, say that unless those current regulations in Japan work against imports, how far do you think there is justification in the American view?
Well, it is partly true that many of the regulations are working against the import from outside, no question about that. But it's not always true that it is the United States who imposed Japan the voluntary export restriction. And now it is the United States who are insisting voluntary import expansion. The voluntary import expansion means that the government government should intervene in the market. That means in order to cope with American demands, the Japanese government control capability of the market should be strengthened so that American demand is rather self-contradictory. But I can understand the American sentiment. Despite of all the efforts, there's basically no change in the trade imbalance between two. Of course, the economists might say that the bilateral trade imbalance doesn't matter, but it does matter for politicians. So that there's something should be done. So that my answer is yes and no. It's a very
thank you. The lady.
I would like to ask a question about the political reform bills. Hosokawa came to power, and the defeat of the LDP was mainly because of the political reform, the failure of political reform by the Miyazawa government. So in that sense, that raison d'etre of Hosokawa government is the political reform bill. And then you mentioned that new electoral law will not bring any significant changes. But I agree with you in the sense that it was heavily damaged by the compromise deal between the LDP and the government, and in the sense that the limit of the donations by the corporations, the government wanted to enforce, was very largely damaged. But given the fact that it used to be that the political electoral system now is the multiple seat constituency, and which means quite often the candidates from the same party stand in the same constituency. That means that they can't fight on the basis of policies, but on the ground that what they can bring to the electorates. I mean, like jobs or public constructions. Whatsoever, so. But the new electoral law will change that to the single constituency, so it is very unlikely to two candidates stand for the same same party. So that means it will be able to fight on the grounds of the policy, which was.
My answer is categorically no. And may I interrupt you?
Yeah.
That's your question?
Yeah,
okay.
That is my question.
Then your argument is based on the assumption that there are two parties with a clearly different set of policies. That's not true. That is If you look at the American Democrats and Republicans, what's the major difference of the policies? They are fighting in the same district, and one person, one membership from one district system, and which we are very eager to introduce, foolishly try to introduce into Japan. But there's no policy debate between the candidates from Democrat and Republican in most of the districts in the lower house election, congressional election in the United States. In Japan, there is no basic policy differences among the parties. As I explained, that when the Hosokawa administration formed, was established by the seven-party coalition, they agreed to follow the LDP policies. Why they should make a government if they have no policy alternatives? That's simply because of the LDP government are so corrupted, and so the people are disgusted with the LDP government, and these politicians exploit that kind of sentiment. And that's all. That is, in a one-person district system will make the election campaigns more fierce. In a case of the multi-membership district, if you, especially the five members district, if you get the 20% of votes, you can be elected. But in a one-person district system case, you have to get 40 or even 50, more than 50% of the votes. So you should be responsible to the any organized pressures. Look at the American congressmen. They are very, 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 they are the prisoners of the vested interests. In the British case, the parties are much more better organized. So that each diet, the parliamentarians might be less, more free from the specific pressure from the special interest, but in those parties which lack very strong organizations, like American Democrat, American Republican, and Japanese parties, and then they are extremely vulnerable to any kind of organized interest. So the Japanese politics will become less clean, I can assure you.
Can we have two more questions? Actually, I have two questions. One is related to that question. Mm-hmm. Professor, my name is Omar from Japanese Finance Ministry.
Uh-huh.
And Professor Sato mentioned currently there is no key policy difference among parties. But in the future, you said you might be a little bit more optimistic about Japanese politics. Does that mean In future, there is a chance in Japan that the opinion of key policy difference might be is a factor which distinguishes political party, or still there is no chance? This is my first question. Mm-hmm. And the second question is related to my ministry. Professor Sato said, Mr. Prime Minister Hosokawa will not be able to lead any significant initiative.
He can't overcome the opposition.
Yeah.
Might be right. Finance ministry.
But my question is, if he had a strong policy initiative, what do you think he should do to mitigate current trade dispute? I'm asking you because regarding macroeconomic policy, I believe Minister of Finance has already done what we could do. And when I talk to people in the market in London, a lot of economists here, after the declaration of economic package, almost all of them, they are satisfied with macroeconomic policy. Even that controversial income tax cut, United States government say it is not enough. To limit 1 year temporary income tax cut. But a lot of people who watch Japanese economy says, no, politically it's almost impossible to retreat income tax cut end of this year. So almost all of them assume, although Japanese government say 1 year income tax cut, majority of people already assume permanent income tax cut.
Yeah, of course.
So in that sense, I don't see macroeconomic policy as a key factor. Then regarding a numerical target, I don't think we can accept that. So what the government should do, if they could do?
Okay. let me to respond to the first question. That is, I have no ground to be optimistic, very frankly. But there are two reasons I said that way. One is that to be optimistic is good for my health. And the second reason, the serious reason, is that the necessity is the mother of invention. And I have a deep doubt about the common sense of the Japanese people, but still, if I lost total confidence among the Japanese common sense, then I should make an exile from Japan, which I don't want to do. So I still maintain some hope for the common sense, and the common sense will prevail sooner or later. That's the only reason I can be optimistic for the long run. There's no other solid reason for that. And let me turn to the second question. Well, it is true that the tax, Mr. Hosokawa made a statement that the tax reduction, income tax reduction will be only for 1 year, but it's ridiculous to assume that the income tax will go back again next year. That's politically impossible. You are right. But the finance ministry made a very poor management, were foolishly rely upon the leadership of Mr. Hosokawa, and made a very poor management of so-called the increase of the 3 years, the tax reduction, income tax reductions, and after that, the increase of the consumption tax from 3% to 4% and 7%. That's a very, very foolish way. That I quite agree to the increase the sales tax. There's no other way for Japan. But there's no solid reason for why we should make a very clear commitment right now to raise after 3 years from 3% to 7%. There's no scientific reason behind that. Then there's that kind of argument and less convincing. And just because to cope with the U.S.-Japan summit, the decisions are very hastily made, at least for the appearance. And of course, I do know that the Ministry of Finance has been trying very hard since December to persuade many important politicians. So behind the scenes, there are a lot of negotiations going on, but most Japanese do not know that. So it suddenly made decided, and foolishly that Mr. Hosokawa made a TV interview at the 1 o'clock in the morning, and so that really upset the most of the Japanese audience, Japanese public, and so it's too nasty and too cunning and so on so on. That's the beginning of the sad result of the summit, and the American government expected. Mr. Hosokawa's commitment of the 3 years tax reduction, but suddenly within 24 hours, he changed his mind. So he lost his confidence on the Washington. That's a really detrimental effect to the negotiations. And the Ministry of Finance is responsible for that. Anyway, let me continue. There are one thing that the Ministry of Finance can do, and politically, I think it's impossible. In addition to the measures already taken or announced, that is to make a rescue operation to the banks to reduce the burden of the bad loans. But it's politically very difficult, and the Ministry of Finance and the banks do not want to do that. And without such kind of large-scale rescue operations, the Japanese banks will remain to be very, very reluctant to invest. To make a large scale of loan for investment, then it will be a really strong constraint for the recovery of the Japanese economy. So, Ministry of Finance, if you are brave enough and talented enough, there are something you can do more.
One last question. We must stop soon.
Am I the last questioner?
Please, yes.
Okay. I will make short question about the future of the LDP.
Mm-hmm.
Because the LDP has left the government, I think it has more free position to make clear new political suggestion.
If you are, they are able enough, big if.
I mean, when the LDP stayed in the government, because they need to keep staying in the government, they had certain limitation in suggesting newer idea in the politics. But because they have left the government, they have more flexible in making policy in economic terms or trade. And if it is not, I'd like to ask you to explain the reason. And the second question is this. Traditionally, the LDP has stayed in the government for more than 40 years. So the relation between the LDP and bureaucrats became very strong. And since the government has altered what the future of the relationship between the LDP and the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me first pick up your first question. Well, that is, logically you are right, and but empirically it's not. And as I explained, LDP is not a party with from the very beginning, with based on the special set of policies. It's a loose federation of the non-socialist groups. It's a, the LDP was maintained first to cope with to keep the socialists out of the power. That's number one. Then, after several 10 years, that it was became very clear that the socialists had no chance to attain the power. Then the LDP is becoming into the party for those politicians ambitious enough to join in the party, in the power. So that the LDP is a loose federation of the ambitious politicians. Nothing more than that. So that is, right now it's now they lost the power. So that is the single most important task for the LDP leaders like Mr. Kono and so on. How to prevent the further split of the party? So that in order to prevent any split, the best strategy is to say nothing. So that is a. That's the reason why the LDP is losing the golden opportunity. And if they are brave enough to make a presentation of the policies which are more attractive than the Hosokawa administration, then there's a great opportunity for LDP to recover the damages they suffered from the scandals. But they simply cannot.
Thank you very much indeed. I think we've given you peace.
Thank you.
We've given you a hard time on your feet, but we've all been delighted to hear you. I think the very first thing to say in finishing off the evening is how grateful we are to you, Professor Sato, for taking 360 degrees of questions on all sorts of subjects and keeping a sense of proportion and dealing with a very difficult theme with such subtlety and reality and good humor and frankness. I think we're immensely in your debt, I think. I think one of the things that I take away is that you've really cautioned us, those of us who are immensely optimistic about Japan and great friends of Japan. You have taught us a little to moderate our optimism because we see new faces coming up. It's natural that. I remember a Japanese ambassador, former ambassador in Moscow and Paris, who once when he was talking with a few of us were being enthusiastic about the emergence of Gorbachev. And this Japanese and wise diplomat listened to us talking. I think some of us were there when he said this. And when we'd finished being enthusiastic about the possibilities of Gorbachev, he said, well, of course, you must remember that even Brezhnev looked young once. your point about the youthfulness of Hosokawa and the difficulty of keeping that edge 24 hours a day under the hot hot lights. So you leave us wiser, but slightly a sense of slightly unsafer, I think. I think it's important that we should sense this moderation and realize the tensions that are involved. If you look at the subject that you've so well described from the outside, from where we stand, as great friends of Japan, possibly the greatest friends of Japan in the world, if you look at it from our point of view, we see the significance of Japan and its dynamism in its position with its phenomenal economic success in recent years, and its central position now emerging in the new Pacific interests and there. But as we do that, we realize that there are these great tensions at base, and our great friendship is going to be severely tested in the next decade. So we have to keep understanding each other and understanding the difficulties of each other in what is going to be a fairly testing rest of the 90s. Yet you mentioned there was no factual position you could produce for optimism, for hope. But hope was good for the health. I do accept that. But from the outside, you know, we see the resilience, the quality of education in Japanese society, the way that you do respond to challenges, and have indeed responded to challenges phenomenally in the last 45 years. We see that, and we feel that this is one of the most educated countries in the world. So if there's change and difficulty and danger, you are going to cope somehow. The sentence, I think, your penultimate sentence in the paper, which we'll all take home and cherish, you say, it can be said that both the Hosokawa government and the LDP find each other in agreement insofar as the need is concerned of maintaining the continuity of the past policies in the best possible manner. There does seem to be some shared fundamentals which we hope will help steady the ship. You also mentioned yourself that you felt still young enough to be changing your mind. Well, what you've done for us tonight, I think, is to make us all feel younger. We've all got to keep changing our minds. May I begin with gratitude to you, sir, and I'll end with gratitude to the Sumitomo Life Insurance Company for making this annual opportunity for bringing our two countries closer together in clearer understanding. This is an annual opportunity for Japan and Britain through this LSE lecture to level with each other. Thank you very much indeed. Sumitomo.
Thank you again. I really enjoyed it.